This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to answer the question, do I have to go to church? That's a very common thought and question that many people have today, and we find that many people do not want to attend a church service on Sunday or any other day of the week. I remember years ago when we moved here, some 20 years ago, it seemed like there were many people in their cars on Sunday morning going up and down Memorial Boulevard and other places in Springfield, and they were traveling to a church service. And you could tell by the way they were dressed and the time of the day that they were going to a church service. And I've noticed in the past 20 years that that has declined greatly. We continue to come early to the church building on Sunday morning and getting ready for the service, but I don't see as many cars out on the road in Springfield as I used to. People are staying in, they're sleeping in, they're watching TV. Some of them are hung over from the night before and different things like that. They don't have God in their life. They don't care about God. And they're just going to go on their merry way. And those who are up and about on Sunday morning would be people like going to the lake. You can tell they've got the boat ready, and or they're going out to the golf course, or they're going to do something of their own personal pleasure. They're not going to worship God. And so it's important for us to consider the topic of assembling together with the church to worship God. Do I have to go to church? Do you have to go to church? Many people in this country would say no. I ran across an article not too long ago from the Princeton Religion Research Center, who they wrote an article called The Unchurched American. And the article says, quote, as we consider the decline in church membership in the United States, we must consider whether or not most Americans believe that one must be a member of the church, in their concept, just any church, to be saved. It goes on to say, quote, a good many Americans have reached the conclusion that they can be just as good a Christian without going to church as they can be while attending a church. The article goes on to say, can a person be a good Christian or Jew if he or she doesn't attend church or synagogue? 7 out of 10 of the church segment and 8 persons in 10 of the unchurched answered in the affirmative or yes. In other words, 70% of church-going people said, yes, you can be just as good a Christian if you don't attend a church as you can if you do. And 80% of the unchurched said, yes, you can be a good Christian without attending as you can when you do attend. So 70% and 80% clearly do not believe that you have to attend a church service in order to be right with God or be saved. And so this is a very important question. And to be honest with you, friend, you may be listening to me this morning, and I'm not trying to be mean or unkind or ugly or cruel in any way, but you may be someone who is hearing me this morning and your attitude is, I don't have to go to church anywhere. I might read my Bible from time to time, or I might listen to a religious radio program. I might watch a televangelist, and that's enough religion for me. I don't need to be a member of any church. I don't need to go to any church. And if you're that way, I hope that you'll continue listening this morning and listen to the message from God's Word, and I hope that I will convince you that you're wrong and that you need to make a change in your life. Again, I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. I love everyone that I'm hoping to reach with this program. I care for you. I love you. I love your soul. But you have to consider what you're doing in light of God's Word. Not my opinion, not what I think or feel, but what the Word of God says. Why is it that many people do not go to church? Well, they have a wrong idea of what the word church is, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But many people just simply do not want to go to a church service or an assembly because they're lazy. Let's be honest. They're just lazy, and they don't want to get up and go. And it's not doesn't have anything necessarily to do with Sunday morning. They don't want to go Sunday night. They don't want to go to a midweek Wednesday night service, or we might have a gospel meeting. We send out 10,000 gospel meeting cards every time we have a gospel meeting at the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ. Maybe you received one of our cards before. And those services are during the week. but I'm just too lazy to go. Some do not want to go because they're told that they do not have to go. They've been sold that lie that you don't have to go. They've been told that. They've heard that somewhere and they believe what man says, but it doesn't come from the Word of God. Many do not go because they're turned off by who is there or what is going on there. And some people say, well, there's hypocrites in the church and I don't like the preacher and I don't like the singing and so-and-so is there and I don't like what they do there. Well, we certainly need to stop making excuses and we need to be worshiping God according to the New Testament scripture. And we don't need to let somebody else stand in our way of our worship. If somebody is not doing right or acting right, they're going to be punished by God. You can be certain of that, but don't let that be an excuse not to go. Some people say, well, you know, there's hypocrites in the church, so that's why I don't go. Well, do you go to Walmart? Do you go to Kroger? Do you go to the post office? Do you go to 100 other places in town? Do you go to a restaurant? Do you go to Catfish House, Torino's, Burger King, Applebee's, O'Charlie's? Do you go to a restaurant? You see, there's hypocrites everywhere. But that doesn't keep us from going to those places we really want to go to. We go get gas. Well, there's hypocrites there, but we go get our gas. So we can go if we want to, and we don't need to let that be an excuse. And many do not go because they have what they believe to be more important things to do. I've got to sleep. I've got to watch TV. I've got to play golf. I got to get out on the lake. And Jesus said to put the kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. And we're to put God first and we're to set some priorities. But many have themselves or the world as their priority. Unfortunately, in the judgment day, they're going to be judged for that. And all of a sudden, they're going to want God in the judgment day. But he's not going to be on their side. So they've got more important things or what they think is more important. And we could go on. There may be other reasons why people give. But 70 to 80% believe that you do not have to go to church to be a good Christian or to be right with God. Well, does that match up with Scripture? I'm not interested this morning. We're not interested in my opinion or what I think or what I feel. What does the Scripture say? Well, turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Leviticus. We're going to start with the Old Testament Jews. God gave the Old Testament Jews a place to worship. It was called the tabernacle, and then later he gave them instructions through David and Solomon to build a temple. And there were times when they were to go there to offer up their sacrifices. In Leviticus chapter 1, the sacrifices were to be brought to the tabernacle in order for the person offering up the sacrifice to be saved. And there were times during the year where each Israelite must come to the tabernacle. And notice what we read in Leviticus chapter 17, verses 8 and 9. Leviticus 17, 8 and 9. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among them, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tent of meeting, to sacrifice it unto Jehovah, that man shall be cut off from his people, or be killed. You had to bring it to the tabernacle. What if an Israelite said, well, you know, I don't want to go down there to the tabernacle. I'm just going to offer up a burnt offering at my home. I don't want to travel all the way down there. I don't have time to do that. I'm too lazy. Somebody told me I didn't have to go down there. I'm turned off by the priests who are down there. I've got more important things to do. The scripture says that he was to be cut off or killed. God says that you have to go to the place that he outlines, which would be the tabernacle at this time. You have to go to that place in order to offer up your sacrifice. This is even made more clear in the book of Deuteronomy. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, God is telling the Israelites about when they would cross over into Canaan land and be there. They were to go to the place that God would choose to offer up the sacrifice. And of course, that would be where the tabernacle was. At one point, it was at Shiloh, for example, and they had to go there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, but unto the place which Jehovah your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there thou shalt come. There thou shalt come, and there you shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and your heave offerings, and your hand, and your vows, and your free will, and the firstling of your herd, of your flock. And there you shall eat before Jehovah your God, and you shall rejoice in all that he put in your hand unto you and your households, wherein Jehovah thy God hath blessed thee. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. But when you go over the Jordan and dwell in the land which Jehovah your God causeth you to inherit, and he giveth you rest from all of your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then it shall come to pass that to the place which Jehovah your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, there shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your heave offerings and your hand and your choice vows and that which you vow. And you shall rejoice before Jehovah your God, you and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants, Levites that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no portion or inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offering in every place that you see, but in the place which Jehovah shall choose in one of your tribes. There thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. That's pretty clear, friends, that an Israelite, a Jew, under the old law, had to go to a certain place. He could not just do it anywhere he wanted. Some people today say, well, I worship God in my home, and I just serve God in my home. Well, there are things that we do in our home. The New Testament teaches that Christians prayed, and they sang songs privately, and they prayed privately, and they read their Bible privately. That's true. We can worship God through singing, through prayer, through reading our Bible, and we can do that individually and privately, not only at home. We can do that at work. We can do that a number of places. But there are some things we cannot do at home that must be done as a Christian, and we'll talk about that in a minute. We can't just sit at home, friend. We have to be someplace and do it with an assembly of other Christians. So, first of all, in the Old Covenant, the Israelites had to go to a place to do some of their worship. When we come to the New Testament, we find the same thing. The Lord built his church. And now is a good time to talk about the word church. The word church means called out. It means a people who have been called out of the world. The word church does not mean building. Nowhere in the New Testament does the word church mean a place, a building, a property. And that's a mistake that many people have made. People will drive by and say, what a beautiful church. No, that's a building. Church is people. And so, first of all, many in the world have gotten the wrong idea of what the word church is. They think it's a building, a place, and then they say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. They have the idea of a place. No, people are the church. We must be a people, a church called out of the world by the gospel to work and worship together and serve God together. There is an assembly of Christians called the church. But a building is not a church. A property is not a church. People are the church. It is not a place you go to. It is a body of people that you belong to. You are a member of the Lord's church. No building is a church. And we can illustrate that from Scripture. Jesus died on the cross, and he shed his blood for the church. He didn't shed his blood for a building. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed to all the flock, talking about the church members, in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church. You don't feed a building. You feed people with the truth, the gospel, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus shed his blood to purchase the church. He didn't die for a building or a piece of property. He died for people. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23. Jesus is the head of the church. He's not the head of a building somewhere, but people. So Paul talks about that Jesus is the head over all the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's people. And in the same book, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. The church is the body. It's people. That's whom Jesus died for, not a building. But turn with me to the book of Acts. We can clarify this even more. Every time, without fail, when the word church is used, it's always used of people. We don't go to church. We go to assemble with the church, to assemble with the people, but we don't go to church in the sense of going to a building. In Acts chapter 8, Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, he persecuted the church. Well, what did he do? Did he persecute a building? Did he go up and attack a building? Well, of course not. He persecuted people. Acts 8 verse 3, but Saul laid waste the church. And then it's explained, entering into every house and dragging men and women, committed them to prison. Church, men and women, the people, the called out church, the called out saints, it's people. Here's another example in Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. Some Christians, some people had heard the gospel in Antioch. They had become Christians in Antioch and they had become members of the church. Look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. And the report, that is the report of what happened in Antioch, the report concerning them came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. It came to the ears of the church. A building doesn't have ears. People do. The people are the church. And the church in Jerusalem, the people, they heard about, the Christians, they heard about these others in Antioch. And so it's very clear that the church in the New Testament is always the people. And so we need to remember that, friends. We need to go and assemble with other Christians and worship God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Hebrew writer says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the custom of some. And there is all kinds of forsaking the assembling today, even among professed Christians. Well, I have to go to work, and I have to go to school, and I have to go to the lake, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. And they're forsaking the assembling. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day drawing nigh. Some have made a custom of it, and they've even done that today. That's their habit, and they just won't come inside a building where Christians are worshiping. They just don't want to do that. They've got other things they think are more important. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Worship was done with one accord. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. The New Testament Christians worshiped with one accord. And then they that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Verse 46, and day by day continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple. They were there worshiping God in one accord. That means together. That shows that they came together. They didn't just sit in their home and say, well, I'm going to worship God in my home. I don't have to go anywhere. They went and assembled together. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. They assembled together to pray. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They gathered together on that occasion to pray. The church gathering together to pray. In Acts chapter 12, the church people gathered together to pray for Peter, who had been put in prison. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Back up in verse 5, but prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God. A building can't pray, but people can. The church, the people, were earnestly praying to God for Peter, who had been put in prison. And verse 12 says they were gathered together and were praying. So prayer was done together. Worship was done together. You know, discussing local church problems and issues, they called the multitude together, the multitude of Christians in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. They had gathered together to learn what to do to further the work of the church. Teaching was done. The teaching of God's Word was done when they were gathered together with the church. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, I talked about the Christians that were at Antioch. And it came to pass that even for a whole year, they were gathered together with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. No other denominational names that we hear today were used. There's all kinds of church names, denominational names in Springfield. None of those are mentioned in the New Testament. Christians, that's what they were called. Nothing else. And so we find that they were gathered together with the church and they taught much people. So worship was done together. Prayer was done together. Discussing church problems and issues and what needs to be done. Teaching God's Word, discussing the Lord's work was done after the church was gathered together in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. And when they were come together and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all things that God had done with them and that He had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so these are different things that are being done together with the church. You can't do these things at home. They're not to be done at home. They're to be done when you're gathered together. From time to time, a local congregation has to discipline one of its members who refuses to change their life and bring it into conformity to God's Word. And many people don't like that today, and so they don't join a church. They quit a church. They don't want to be disciplined in any kind of way. They want to live any way they want. But with regard to what is called church discipline, we find in Acts chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, when is that to be done? Well, Paul told the church at Corinth that they were to discipline a man. He was having sexual relations with his father's wife, and he was to be disciplined. And he says, you being gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. You being gathered together. It was to be done as a congregational gathering and a congregational activity. Now, there are some, in addition to those things, there are things that are done, what we might call acts of worship. There were five acts of worship that were done in the New Testament. And those were done, three of those could be done individually and privately. The other two have to be done when you come together on the first day of the week. It cannot be done any other day of the week, and it cannot be done at home. It has to be done on the first day of the week, and it has to be done together, being gathered together. The first one is the Lord's Supper. Partaking of the Lord's Supper was when you come together to eat. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul says concerning the Lord's Supper, he says, when you come together to eat. And when you do that as a group, that is very important. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And then he says, verse 20, when therefore you assemble yourselves together, it was for the Lord's Supper. And then some of them were abusing that kind of thing. Come down to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And so it was to be done when you come together. So that can't be done at home. And then it was on the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. It wasn't done Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sometimes communion is offered in different religions and denominations all throughout the week. In the New Testament, and if we want to be a New Testament Christian, we're going to limit ourselves to their example. It was done on the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, that's the Lord's Supper, Paul discoursed with them. he preached to them in addition to taking the Lord's Supper. So number one, it was done on the first day of the week. And then number two, when you are coming together. So that is an activity that has to be done together in the church. Another activity that was done upon the first day of the week, it wasn't done just any time and anywhere and everywhere, was the contribution or the collection. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so also do you. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. So upon the first day of the week, they were to take that collection, and it was to be done when they come together, so that there is no other kinds of collections made. So, we find that we must assemble with the saints. No, we don't go to church in the sense of going to a building, but we must go and worship with Christians. That is something that we must do. So we've seen the Lord's Supper. We've seen the contribution or the collection. What else was done together? Well, singing was done together in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, Ephesians 5, 19. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. One to another, that is a congregational setting. You can't sing one to another if you're just at your home. One to another is gathering together with the other saints and singing together. There was no instrumental music at that time. That has been added later by man. They just simply sang, and we just simply sing at the Memorial Boulevard congregation. We encourage everybody to sing. Everybody's allowed to sing together. That's what they did in the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we find, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. One another, or one to another, or to yourselves. That implies a congregational group setting. So the Lord's Supper was one act. The collection was another act of worship. Singing was another act of worship. We've already seen that the church gathered together to pray in Acts chapter 12, verse 5 and verse 12. So the Lord's Supper, singing, the contribution, praying together, and then we've already seen the teaching of God's Word, the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Do you remember in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, after they broke bread, after they took the Lord's Supper, Paul discoursed to them. He preached to them. So we call that the five acts of worship. Man has come along, has added other things to that, has taken some things away from that, has taken those things and modified it and changed it to their thinking. But this is simply the New Testament worship. And it was all done together. Do I have to go to church? No, I don't have to go to a building. I must go be a member of the Lord's body and be a Christian. And I need to do that each first day of the week with the saints. And we would encourage you to do that. Thank you for listening this morning. You need to get up and go be with Christians. Come be with Christians at the Memorial Boulevard congregation. Get up. Don't use laziness or misplaced priorities or worldly things. Don't let that get in the way. Get up, get out, and come. And if you need some assistance, if you need a ride, if you need help getting to the service, we can pick you up. We can provide that for you. We'd be glad to do it. But get up and go and worship God the way God wants you to, and you'll be pleasing to Him. Thank you for joining us for the Let the Bible Speak program, and tune in next week. Lord willing, we'll have another good message, hopefully for you from God's Word. And thank you for joining us today.